This is Solidarity News on Radio Labour.
This is a Radio Labour World Report recorded on Friday, March 29th, 2024. I'm Marc Boulanger. In the report this week, a special program on the need for quality public education. The Labour Start report about union events and singing. This is Radio Labour.
Now is the right time for all the world's educators to raise our voices.
That is Susan Hopgood, the president of Education International. EI represents 32 million teachers and education support personnel in 178 countries. She was speaking at the recent National Congress of the French Education Union, CNES-FSU.
No one can turn away from the cascading emergencies affecting our communities, especially those targeting the most vulnerable. There is no less than a global crisis of the commons. Both the ability of governments through the public sector to maintain and advance the public good and the capacity of the people to hold them democratically accountable for their actions. Hundreds of millions remain excluded from education. Millions more don't have learning opportunities because of inadequate environments, untrained personnel, and a lack of educational resources. We know there is a teacher emergency, a shortage of more than 44 million teachers worldwide. Friends, the path forward globally starts by following the money. Across the world, billions of dollars in uncollected taxes prevent responsible investment in the public good. On a global scale, the estimated annual revenue loss due to multinational corporate tax manipulation is about $600 billion in US dollars. Well-functioning and equitably financed public services are critical for quality education. Together, we embrace the notion that our profession, our unions have a great stake in these services, reimagining the transformational systems needed to truly transform education. If we are serious about transforming the role and status of the teaching profession, then the systems that are supposed to serve us all must be fit for purpose. There is inequality because of the system. There are unacceptably high workloads, low pay, and the departure of too many of our colleagues from the profession because of the system. When we transform systems, we can transform teaching conditions, working conditions, and students' learning conditions. When teachers have the tools, the time, and the trust to collaborate, to work together, to use research, to solve problems, we can transform practice to incorporate the diversity of our schools and the range of need. Academic, social, and emotional. This is how we transform lives, how we empower our students to take action, to address climate change, to address attacks on democracy, to interact, be independent and information literate in our diverse and inclusive world. Our mandate for this critical work comes from our member organisations, but it has been accelerated in unprecedented fashion by the United Nations. The UN High-Level Panel of the Teaching Profession, appointed by Secretary-General Guterres just weeks ago, released groundbreaking and unanimous recommendations. I was proud to serve on that panel. Simply stated, the UN is urging governments to address the global education crisis by elevating and transforming the role and status of the teaching profession.
Ms. Hopgood mentioned the UN's high-level panel on the teaching profession. Here, describing the panel and its recommendations is EI's General Secretary, David Edwards.
We have a new set of tools to truly transform education around the world. The United Nations high-level panel on the teaching profession has launched a series of landmark recommendations to address the alarming global teacher shortage and the value and respect our profession needs. So, what do the recommendations say? The recommendations call on governments to ensure competitive, fair, and professional salaries. They call for secure employment, good working conditions, and balanced workloads. They urge governments to guarantee public investment in education and to reject austerity measures. Precarious employment and the use of contract teachers and unqualified personnel must come to an end. And teacher well-being is a priority. When it comes to our professional practice, the high-level panel recommends quality initial teacher training, publicly funded, including through the provision of stipends for teachers in training. It recommends quality continuous professional development that is equitable, free, part of their official duties, and co-designed with our profession. Our professional autonomy must be respected, and teachers must be given the time and resources to collaborate and create communities of practice. Governments should strive to ensure that all teachers have a university degree and standards defined by the profession itself. A strong commitment to gender equality, equity, and diversity cuts right across the recommendations. Working environments must be inclusive, safe, and non-discriminatory for teachers in all their diversity. And women's leadership must be encouraged. It says that refugee teachers and displaced teachers should be provided with pathways into the education workforce of host communities. And when a teacher is hired to work in camps for refugees or displaced persons, their labor rights must be respected. And of course, teachers and education staff working in situations of crisis, disasters, and conflict, they must be paid. One thing I'm really excited about is the panel's recommendations, which put social and policy dialogue and collective bargaining at the heart of transforming education. Policies in education should be developed with teachers and their organizations at the table. Employment conditions should be determined through social dialogue, including collective bargaining. And yes, the panel even reaffirms the right to strike. And we know that none of these recommendations can become reality without financing. The panel calls for equitable funding for education and sustainable investment in the teaching profession, because there are no shortcuts. Investing in education and in the teaching profession is the only way to guarantee the right to education and a qualified and supported teacher for every student.
Here with his report about union events around the world is Labor Start correspondent Derek Blackadder.
This week, our top story section included links to several stories about recent attacks, disappearances, and kidnappings of trade unionists in the Philippines, how education workers in Myanmar are resisting forced military service, and the International Trade Union Confederation's reaction to the Moscow terror attack. But my favorite top story this week is a behind-the-scenes item sketching out how U.S. Union Starbucks Workers United was able to force the coffee chain giant to the bargaining table. This week's Labor Start podcast is an interview with Sally McManus, General Secretary of the Australian Council of Trade Unions. In this episode, McManus spells out why the recent election of a Labor government has helped spur the rejuvenation of Australian unions. A random sample from our news pages includes articles about the state of the Afghan education system, how South Korean unions are dealing with employer blacklists, and details of a Spanish union's plan to transform itself into an anti-racist organization. On our Working Women news page, you'll find details about the release of this year's Women Workers Calendar by the BWI, the Global Union Federation representing builders and woodworkers around the world. We also covered the challenge posed by the employers' use of non-disclosure agreements in workplace harassment cases in the UK, and how women tea garden workers in Bangladesh are mobilizing to resist abuse. Flip over to the German language edition of our Working Women page, and you'll find details of how Luxembourg's labor movement won equal treatment for public and private sector workers claiming maternity leave, and the loopholes the Swiss movement has identified in that country's pay equity law. In Portuguese, you'll find details of how Brazilian unions are fighting worker-to-worker harassment in the financial services sector with, among other things, publications entitled A Manual on Masculinity and Its Issues and How to Talk to Men About Violence Against Girls and Women. And we carried a report from Ireland about a woman worker who challenged her employer's statement that moving boxes was men's work and won 7,500 euros in compensation. Stories appearing on our health and safety page in Newswire this week include reports of yet another South African government building being condemned and declared unfit for human use, threats against journalists in Serbia, and yet more reports of rising workplace violence directed at Canadian education workers. Swiss unions have been following developments in Japan, where the labor movement is also on the verge of winning significant wage increases not seen in recent memory. This is Derek Blackadder from Laborstart, reporting for Radio Labor.
How do teachers keep doing it despite low pay and inadequate facilities and sometimes dangerous situations? Love for their students. Here is the EI band performing at Education International's Global Congress held in Bangkok in 2019 with lead singer Lily Eskison Garcia, EI's vice president for North America and the Caribbean. On the drums is EI's general secretary David Edwards. EI's 10th World Congress will be held in Buenos Aires, July 29th to August 2nd, 2024. And that's it. Labor news you can use. You can listen to our daily newscasts and features at radiolabor.net. I'm Marc Boulanger. Thank you for listening. And remember, it's all about global solidarity.